Can Research in Motion finally stage a comeback?
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The struggling maker of BlackBerry smartphones holds its annual shareholders meeting today outside Toronto in the Canadian town of Waterloo. Believe it or not, that's where Research in Motion is based. The company's smartphone sales dropped 41% last quarter, and today, shareholders are hoping to hear some reassuring news. Our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon, reports.
Ever since he took the helm of the foundering company in January, CEO Torsten Hines has promised clear sailing as soon as the new BlackBerry 10 comes to market. Now, RIM is denying accusations by some disgruntled investors that Hines made misleading vows that the phone would be ready by the end of the year, at a BlackBerry conference in May, for example.
I promise to you that the whole company is laser focused on delivering on time and exceeding your expectation.
Then, a couple of weeks ago, the company delayed the new phone into next year, and that has shareholders talking lawsuits. Duke University law professor James Cox cautions that legal precedent allows for a certain amount of corporate boosterism.
There's a lot of history out there to think that this is just harmless puffery. It's a little bit like when you go down to buy a used car and somebody says this is one of the best cars on the lot. You know, most of us don't believe that.
The CEO has kept up his rosy talk. Last week, he told an interviewer flatly there's nothing wrong with the company right now. Still, Cox thinks lawyers have probably advised executives not to be too specific when they address shareholders today. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Coming up, we'll be joined by billionaire philanthropist Melinda Gates. But first, let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, down 0.4% in Tokyo, but up 1.3% right now in Frankfurt. Aluminum maker Alcoa reported a slight quarterly loss last night, but the company said it expects demand to grow this year for aluminum to be used in aerospace, automobiles, and beverage cans. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow shed 36 points to close at 12,736.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
The proportion of foreign aid that goes to family planning in developing countries has fallen dramatically in recent years as more and more money is being spent on other health needs. Well, tomorrow in London, there's going to be a major conference that aims to bring the focus back to family planning. It's being organized by the British government and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And we are pleased to be joined this morning by Melinda Gates herself. She's with us from Seattle. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, your latest effort is aimed at providing contraception to women around the world. Why that issue?
Well, we know today that 200 million women around the world would like to have access to contraceptives and don't. And we know that it's life transforming for them and their families if they can plan the timing and the spacing of the births of their children. And so I think we should give them the simple tools that we have in places like the United States or the UK. The time is now.
How do you decide to get involved in an issue like that? There are so many things that you could obviously do to help, and you do many of them, but how do you pick them? How do you pick the issues?
I've been traveling now for over a decade for the foundation. And as I would go out and talk with women about their needs and their desires for their families, what kept coming back from women was, why can't I have a contraceptive? I want to have fewer children, and yet I don't have a tool available. I used to be able to have one, and now I don't. So I'm very enthused to make sure that we can give women this access.
Do you feel some responsibility as one of the most powerful women in the world to focus on issues that perhaps men don't think as much about?
I do, because I think the right thing to do in terms of giving families options, you have to put the tool in the hands of a woman. And I think unless a woman comes out and says, this is really, really important and we have to do it from the bottom up, I do think it takes a woman to stand up and say, this is important. Otherwise, we've seen what's happened the last 20 years. The tools haven't gotten out there. And so it's time.
Why do you think that in 2012, there is still such a lack of women in high-ranking positions, especially in the world of business?
I think that's a complicated issue, and I think it's different depending on where you go, whether it's in Europe or whether it's in the United States. But what I would encourage women to do is to use their voice. When they see another woman they can mentor or sponsor into a role, I think that's really important for women to do. And I think the more we see that, I think you'll start to get this positive momentum of more women actually climbing into some of those positions. And we are seeing some progress, but certainly not enough.
What do you think that organizations like your foundation can do that governments can't or that individuals or businesses cannot?
Well, I think all a foundation can do is really be a catalytic wedge. We can shine light on the issues where you can have really incredible impact with foreign aid and with dollars. We can take some of the innovation and the risk out of the equation so we can try new innovative tools, whether it's a vaccine, whether it's a new contraceptive tool for a woman. We can start to pilot those and scale those up, but ultimately it takes governments to scale these up on a widespread basis. But we can bring all of those partners together around a global issue and coalesce the field to move a goal forward.
It's such a unique thing to do, to go around the world and help people in this way in so many different capacities. I wonder, is there something that you can remember back to when someone that you had did not know came in and helped you in a big way?
Yes. I mean, I think one of the greatest opportunities in the United States is an incredible education. And so I had many teachers along the way, but one in particular, a math and computer science teacher who in high school said to me, "You can be good in math. You are good in math. I'm going to get you a computer." She set me on the way of giving me confidence and knowing that a girl could be great in science and math. And that was important later for what I did in college and now what I do at the foundation.
Melinda Gates is the co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Great. Thank you, Jeremy.
And if you go to marketplace.org, we've got an extended interview where you can find out who Melinda Gates has been most inspired by in all of her travels. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.